Welcome to Friday. It's the 8th day of May. Brought to you by Landscaper's Corner at 1305 Old Frankfort Pike. Landscaper's Corner has Triple Crown Elite Grass Seed. Available in 5, 25, and 50-pound bags. Call 225-9433. And our question of the day is brought to you by United Structural Systems, your foundation repair and waterproofing experts. iFixFoundations.com, 859-254-7700. And Ray, you sure you want me to ask you the question of the day today?
Not sure, but...
Yeah, you may not want me to ask you the question of the day today, but Republicans, so you're excluded already.
Yeah.
Who will you vote for in the primary for governor?
Oh, I can't.
Okay, so there's your answer.
I'm what you call one of them damn Democrats.
Okay, you can answer that at WVLKAM.com. Tune in for the results with Cruiser and Crew between noon and 3. Now, yesterday, you may have an opinion on this. Mm-hmm. Our question does, researchers say rap had a bigger influence on pop music than the British invasion. Do you agree?
Well, I'm really into hip-hop, as you may have guessed.
I know you are. And,
yeah.
You're a ludicrous man, I believe, aren't you?
Yes, I'm pretty ludicrous.
Anyway, 83% said nope, they didn't agree with that. 17% said yes. Now, the only thing I know about you musically is that you like the Bill Gaither Trio, and I do too.
No, there are five of them now.
Are there five?
Five in the group, yeah.
Didn't it used to be the Bill Gaither Trio?
Maybe
no?
Way
long
back
time.
When
okay.
You were a kid.
When I was a kid.
I'm a big Southern.
I do think Bill Gaither's very talented. And you'll travel to Indianapolis? Or
I've been.
I like
Southern gospel music.
And that's odd for an Episcopalian.
Well, maybe.
And Mark, our other
you
guest.
You like Southern gospel music?
Mark Burner's here.
I like all of them. I'll listen to anything that comes up.
You like, are you a...
How's that for a nice vanilla
That's
answer?
Good. That's
a genre. What does genre. That mean?
Yeah, that's an Episcopalian
style,
answer.
I'll take any culturalistic music. I like everything. I'm a classic vinyl person on Sirius Radio. So
really? No kidding.
I really enjoy that. But
cool.
I enjoy
I do
all.
Like the Gaither, whatever they call them, quintet. But I like the high church stuff that you guys do, too. I love that at the Episcopalian. I'd have been Episcopalian if I'd been smarter. But
well, yeah.
Yeah. We've got Lexington Police Chief Mark Barnard with us here this morning. Chief, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We got a serious subject we're talking about today, and that's the police officers right here in Lexington who have either died or been seriously injured in the line of duty, and it's a much longer list. We don't want any names on there, but it's a longer list than we'd like to think about, isn't it?
Yes.
It is.
And in the last week that they had the banquet or whatever, the award ceremony for the police department?
The police department has an annual awards banquet.
Yeah.
And it's really a neat event. And the public's invited and I think Mark has decided that he's going to get more and more and more of the public invited to this.
Good.
It's sponsored by the Citizens Police Academy.
And, Alumni Association.
Yes.
And I got to MC that one year, and I really enjoyed it. I'm available in the future if you'd ever ask me to do that
well,
again.
We certainly will. We appreciate that.
But anyway, so you were you the MC this year?
No.
No. Who was the MC this year?
Close to it.
Yeah.
They don't have that many hours.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about it. What's the purpose and all of it?
Well, it's an opportunity for us to allow publicly to say thank you to the officers that do work every day. And it was pretty unique this year that we wanted to be able to say thank you to the officers that do outstanding work, to recognize them publicly in our community. We also recognize community members that have done outstanding work, and I think you saw some of that in the local media, which was pretty exceptional. And then this year was unique in the fact that we invited victims of crimes and Ray sponsored tables for them to come in, and so we could make sure, because what happens is when you work with victims, you actually become part of that family. You have this connection for the rest of your life with victims of crimes from an investigator's point of view, and that's always there. Those memories are always there, and we wanted to be able to bring them back and show them that we still appreciate them. They're always, I think some people think well, they won't remember me, or they won't remember my son or my daughter or my loved one. And we do. And we wanted to be able to bring them, publicly recognize them, and say how much they mean to us as an agency. And we were able to do that. And we had over 650 people in attendance this year. And they were, it was a powerful banquet. And we had a guest speaker, which was Mike DeGiro, Trent DeGiro's father.
I've heard him speak before.
And
powerful.
When you get 650 people into a large room like we had, and then you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, I bet.
And he was very emotional going through it, very passionate about his beliefs and relationship to law enforcement and his journey through the criminal justice system. And my wife was just amazed because she had heard the stories, because when you investigate those crimes, she hears one side of it. But,
right.
But to hear that from his side and his journey, and him to be able to give his testimony as what he felt as a father that had lost a son, even for me sitting there and having met them before and gone through it, through the investigative part, it was still a powerful moment for me. And you could have heard a pin drop through the entire banquet when he was speaking. So it was a powerful, emotional moment. It was something that I think everybody appreciated. A lot of people don't get to hear that side of an investigation. They get to see what's on the news, a 30-second clip. And this was one that went on for a long time. And he was just a tremendous speaker.
You know, he gave me, listening to him, he gave me a different perspective. And because I'm very familiar with that case, because mm-hmm. I was involved in it. He said that the police investigation, which lasted, six, seven years, because nobody knew anything until Amy Lloyd came forward.
Right.
And he said the police investigation was well done, even though it took a long time. They never quit. They never quit answering the phone when I called. They'd always call me and tell me what was going on. But his whole attitude changed when he talked about, once we got into the hell called the court system.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, I'm really telling you now that he put an entirely new spin on it for me. And that is, for example, you know, when we tried the Turpin case, Mike Turpin was murdered mm-hmm. by his that group. That trial, the murder occurred, and we tried that case 4 months later. Now it takes 2 years to get a murder case to trial. Why? And you know, victims of crime are entitled to a speedy trial too. And there's no such thing now. And they just twist in the wind for all that period of time. And victims are treated like dog do.
They're treated
the
like criminals.
Justice system.
Treated
and
like criminals.
And it's really crummy.
Well, we had that guest last week that concluded mm-hmm. a 2 week stint, and she was an attorney who was sexually assaulted and completely mistreated by the court system. And if she hadn't been an attorney, no telling how bad it would have been, you know. And we had 2 weeks that we featured this case because we didn't get to the trial mm-hmm. until last Friday. And by the way, Mary Houlihan, as you would have expected, did a really great job. Let's take a break. If you have a comment, we'd like to hear it. 253-5959, touch *590am.com. We have Ray Larson with us and our new police chief. I guess at some point we got to stop calling you our new police chief.
It feels like it's been about 2 or 3 years so far. So.
Maybe today would be as good a day as any to say our police chief, Mark Barnard, and you guys just recently had the annual banquet that you do each year and salute the police officers recognized and fire, right, who went above and beyond and in certain cases actually gave their lives, made the ultimate sacrifice, and those who were actually, in addition to those who were killed in the line of duty, seriously injured, and there's a bunch of them. Now, Ray, what happened? What did you do in the banquet?
When Mark asked Mike DeGiro to speak, it occurred to me, and especially these days when police are being
criticized,
trashed,
yeah,
across the country, people are forgetting just what kind of danger they face. And so I thought, what a good idea to invite some of these people that have been wounded in the line of duty, even some killed in the line of duty. And so we did. And I want to just go through them. And what I'd like, I know a lot of the police officers listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would ask them to do is, if they have memories of any of these people that we go through, would they just give us a call and share that memory with them? But first one, we ask them to stand in front of all these 650 people and to remain standing. And the first one was Ed Lingenfelter. Ed Lingenfelter, on June the 21st, 1996, made an early morning traffic stop on East Vine Street. A man, unrelated to the stop, walked up to Ed and shot him several times. Ed had to retire. He had to change his entire career because of that. And he fortunately is still working at the Department of Criminal Justice Training in Richmond, but he had to retire on a disability because he couldn't do what he was. He was shot in the face, and he was shot in the right arm. Now, he had to become left-handed.
Wow.
Think about this. And Ed didn't want to come to this. He said he didn't want the recognition. And I said, Ed, it's not about you. What we want to do, I want the people to show appreciation for the sacrifice you made on behalf of all of us. And he came. He was pretty emotional about it. Then you had Tim Russell. Tim Russell was a patrol officer 9 days after Lingenfelter got shot. Tim Russell was on his way home. His shift was up. He was on his way home. And they had a domestic violence call. And he says, I'll take it, before he went home. And sure enough, he went out to this call. And when he arrived, this character named Jerry Lee Lewis, for crying out loud, confronted him with a pistol and shot him right in the throat.
Mm.
And Tim, too, had to retire because he couldn't. Most of his voice was gone. He had to retire on disability. However, he was hired by the Forensic Services Unit as a civilian employee. As a matter of fact, Mark in the police department honored him as the outstanding civilian employee in the police department this year. But, you know, for a long time, Tim was very angry.
Sure.
Very angry that this happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he has since, he's one of the neat guys around. Aaron Kidd, in February 2003, guess what? He's chasing an armed robber, a guy that was reported. He was supposed to be wearing this armed robber was wearing a red jacket. Aaron Kidd saw him and started a foot pursuit. And he was chasing him, and this outlaw turned around, pointed a gun at Aaron and shot him in the face. Well, his reactions were such that he turned his head, so the bullet went in just above his mouth, in his upper lip, and it came out on the side of his cheek. He continues to serve as a police officer in our community. Nick Whitcomb is a patrol officer, and in April of 2004, Nick responded to a suspicious person in a Winburn neighborhood. Now, these are just typical calls that police make
every day. Every day. Right.
Several times on each shift.
Yeah.
And he saw, he found this guy, and the guy took off running, and Nick chased him. And the bad guy just turned around and fired a shot at him, and it hit him in the shoulder and came, I'll bet you, within a quarter of an inch of his spinal cord.
Mm.
Now, he's recovered, and he's back on duty. Then you had Brian Derman. Now, Brian Derman, people will remember, went to a loud music ball. And you know you hear this, ba-thump, ba-thump, ba-thump. And people get a little tired of that in the neighborhood, and so they made the call on North Upper Street, and Brian went to answer the call and was talking to the guy, and this Donna Pie guy just ran him down and killed him. Just killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was represented at the banquet by his wife, his widow, Brandy.
Who's been on this program.
Yes, she has. Mm-hmm. And
brave, brave woman.
Then we had Joe Angelucci, who was a deputy sheriff. And what did he do? He was serving a mental warrant on a guy named Michael Bennett. And what happened was that Michael Bennett grabbed Joe's gun, and shot him. And I guess for 15 days or maybe a few more days, Joe lingered in the hospital and subsequently died.
We're just partially, unfortunately, through the list, but we have to take a break. We'll be right back. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at WBLKA. And we're back. It's 22 before 10, 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at WBLKAM.com. We've got our police chief here, Mark Barnard. Of course, Ray Larson is here. They just had their banquet that they have annually to recognize folks for outstanding service, and we're about halfway through the list. We don't want to leave anybody out, right?
Right. Well, we left off with Deputy Sheriff Joe Angelucci, who was shot and killed in 1988, and he was represented by his brother Mondo. The Judge Angelucci and his wife Joyce have died in the last couple of years, and Mondo had to be there to mm-hmm. represent Joe and the family. Then, back in 1985, Roy Mardis was a canine person,
mm-hmm.
and he and his dog were out assisting the Kentucky State Police in trying to locate a multiple murderer, and he was shot and killed during that search. His widow, Sue, was invited to attend, but she had just, I think, been through surgery and couldn't make it. Then we went to firefighters, and people will remember the name Brenda Cowan. And in February 2004, she was part of the emergency response from the fire department, the ambulance went out. Patrick Hutchinson had holed up in his house out near the Clay's Ferry Bridge, and he shot his wife, and who was laying there, and Brenda Cowan went out to provide assistance, and this Hutchinson character shot her and killed her. And there was another firefighter, the name's James Sanford, who was there too, and he got shot in the head. It wasn't a fatal shot, and he was invited to attend, and this one really touched me, because he said, I would love to be there, but I am having such difficulty just trying to get past this in my own mind.
And this happened in
2004,
so 11 years he's still mm-hmm. dealing with. Yeah. See, that's the thing we've talked about on the show so many times. You hear the media likes to use the term closure. this will give the family closure. There ain't no closure.
There never is. And crime victims don't like that word.
Yeah.
Because that's, they think that's,
that's going to bring their loved one back. No, sir.
Yeah. So, and then there was Chuck Williamson in 1997. He and another firefighter, two firefighters, went to a fire that had been started, an arson fire. And he died fighting that fire. And Jerry Ray, another firefighter, suffered severe burns. They were in the basement trying to put the fire out when the floor collapsed. It killed Chuck Williamson, who, by the way, his father was a firefighter as well. And Jerry Ray was burned. And those were the people that we wanted to recognize. Now, there were some others. Peter Barnhart was shot, a police officer. And to be honest with you, we just forgot. But it's that was a serious event as well.
I've got a call here. Let's go to the phones. This is Jim. Morning, Jim.
Yes, this kind of goes along with the safety of police officers. I've always thought that the we should have more unmarked cars, and because the bad guy knows who the police are, but the police don't know who they are. And they're sort of sitting ducks. So, and plus, we would catch more bad guys because, you know, sometimes, you know, people are really good with the police around. Then when the police leave, they go bad again. So they do bad things. So anyway, I just like to see more unmarked cars.
Chief, you have a comment?
Well, we do have unmarked cars, and we work in surveillance modes. We don't like to advertise that, but we do like the visible presence of the officers in their marked vehicles being in neighborhoods. I hear it at every meeting I go to. We want to see more police. We want to see more marked vehicles. We want them in our neighborhoods. We try to put those into those areas when we have hotspot areas. We do have surveillance teams that will go in and work in conjunction with them.
Thanks for your call, Jim. Ray.
You know, that just brings up another topic, and that is this take-home fleet
yep.
that always causes people to get their panties all in a wad. I happen to think this take-home fleet is a great idea because what that does is keep those marked police cars on the road and visible, and the people that are driving them are to respond to situations if they see them. If you park that car when you're off duty and you can't be seen, then you're just cutting significantly the number of police cruisers in the community.
Do you agree with that, Chief?
Absolutely. They respond, and the mentality of our officers in Lexington are not unique, but I applaud them because they want to help. And even being off duty, if they hear a call go out or they see a motorist assist, they're stopping to help someone. Tim Russell was at the end of his shift. He could have easily gone home. But that victim of domestic violence was close, and he jumped that call, extending his shift.
That's dedication.
That is dedication. And so I applaud them for that. And the home fleet accents that. So they'll see officers off duty riding in those vehicles. But if they need help, they need assistance, those officers are there for them.
This is Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. Just quick statement. I want to applaud the Chief and Ray for all the great things you guys do. And, Jack, I want to thank you for a statement you made a minute ago about this thing about closure. I have said for years that is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing. It may get better, but I'm speaking from experience. There comes a time. Things happen. 2 years down the road, something will happen, and it brings it back.
Yep.
There is no such thing as closure. It gets better, but it doesn't go away.
Ever.
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 I always try to say, Jim, is that I hear that, and that's one of those cliche phrases that's passed out, and the media uses it a lot. when families and our family has suffered losses also, it is difficult to ever make anyone whole again. When you have someone that means so much to you that is tragically taken away, there is a void, and there is nothing that can ever fill that void for you.
Jim, thanks.
Thanks.
We're taking a break. 253-5959. We've got about 3 minutes left in the show, Ray, and I know that you have a specific agenda to cover in a short amount of time, so take it.
Well, the first thing I want to say is it's important to remind everybody who are out there criticizing police around the country from the safety of their offices or from the steps in front of some city hall or courthouse that what the police do is a very, very dangerous job. And we in Lexington, I think, are pretty lucky to have such an outstanding police department. And so when the criticism happens, it sure would be nice if the people that who think the police are doing a good job would stand up and speak up instead of sitting around being the silent thinking majority.
Would that help you, Mark?
Tremendously. I think the officers would really appreciate that.
Let's take a call. This is Harvey. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning. I'll make this real fast.
Okay.
I'm not a police officer, and I have never been. I am pro-police, but my question is to Chief Barnard, and congratulations on that promotion.
Thank you.
I have two questions. One is, when Tim Russell got shot, did the dispatchers fail to tell him that there'd already been a call there? And my second question is, the dispatchers, when they get you so aggravated on the telephone, and then when the officers get out there, the people are short with the officers. And I'm just curious if that's why police officers get complaints on it because of the dispatchers. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks.
I'm not really sure on the dispatch. I can't remember going back that far. I'll ask Tim, and I can get back with you, Harvey. But let me take up for our E911 dispatchers. They're sitting in a room, and they're receiving some of the most stressful calls that you can receive in trying to communicate that information. We appreciate what they do every day. It is a tremendously stressful call. There's always rooms for improvement in our position, their positions, everyone's. We always seek to improve, but we really support them and what they do for us, and they are the ones that give us the information and how we address that. So I appreciate what they do, and it's a very stressful job that they have.
You know, they're bad. They're bad police officers. They're bad prosecutors. They're bad radio announcers. There's bad everything, but they're such the minority. Unfortunately, they take up the majority of the what we hear about and read about.
That's exactly right. We have a tremendous, and let me say this about our officers, and it's not because I'm the chief of the organization. They are tremendously professional and caring individuals that want to serve the public. They do an outstanding job.
They do. Thank you both for being with us. Update from the Information Center is next. Hope you have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day. We'll be back here Monday morning at 6, 5 Central.